Salaam.
I can say there are two phases of reaction. By the time when the salaries were paid, there was a negative reaction towards the government. It was like a shock to many public servants because when they saw their accounts, they found there was nothing increased and there was no any annual increment as she promised. So there was a negative reaction towards that. But Tanzania Trade Union made some efforts to meet the government, the Ministry of Finance, and the President's Office Public Service. They clarified that there was a technical problem in the payment system and that made the payment not to happen in July.
Technically speaking,
yes.
It's been less than 1 month for the increment in payment to be done. It was supposed to start on 1st July. People in the haste or the expectations were overwhelming?
Yes, the expectations of being paid were overwhelming. I agree with you that the expectations were overwhelming and they were expecting to have a good pay, and even maybe the calculations of the increment could be in favor of the workers. But unfortunately, that did not happen. And that's why the expectation, when the expectation did not realize, was not realized in July, they were shocked.
Some people are suggesting that the government does not necessarily have money to be able to meet those obligations that the president has made.
Many analysts will ask themselves this question, whether the government is capable of paying or not. In recent months, we have seen the government borrowing much from the donors, from development partners to finance the development projects that are ongoing and those which were left by the former president. But still, there is a glimpse of hope that maybe the revenue collection, maybe the revenue, the current trend of revenue collection might give some promises of being able to pay. But the worry is, it might be they're also depending on the donor fund to pay or to subsidize on salaries. And that's the worry that many people have, that we are not sure whether the government has a self-sustenance to pay the salaries, or it will also depend on the donors to pay the salaries.
The president of the Tanzania Teachers Union, Ms. Leah Ulaya,
yes,
expressed disappointment that the salary increase had not been implemented for all government employees. Some people are suggesting that morale is very, very low among all public sector workers. Do you think this increment and then the reinstatement of increment for public sector workers every year will boost morale of Tanzanian public sector workers?
Yes, and this one tallies very well with the current meeting that was the meeting that ended yesterday of the African heads of state on human capital. One of the issues that was explained more by the delegates was the issue of morale and motivation to staff, and especially to teachers. It has been explained for many years that teachers are teaching with a very low morale in our countries and in many African countries. It's because of the low pay. And the teachers are working very hard. There's no principle of social returns when you calculate the salaries for teachers. Now, with that low salary, and you won't pay it and you won't increase it annually, teachers have a low morale. It's very true. I agree with you. It's not only teachers. We have nurses. We have doctors. We have social health workers. They all work with the communities. They need to have a morale to save people, to save the communities. Now, when you don't pay them timely and when you don't pay them their entitlements, it means you are reducing their morale.
Faraja Lugume is a lecturer at the University of Dar es Salaam. He spoke with me from the Tanzanian commercial capital, Dar es Salaam. Is the Voice of America, and you are listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Peter Clotty, in Washington. Coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa Sports with Samson O'Malley. That will be followed by a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Under Secretary General for Political Affairs, and music from African Collection. It's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's join Samson O'Malley. Hello, Samson.
Hi, Peter, and good evening, sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. Bayern Munich announced on Saturday that Senegalese striker Sadio Mane was in talks about a change of club, with reports suggesting he was destined for Saudi side Al Nassr. The German champions left Mane out of a friendly match in Tokyo, posting on social media, quote, "Sadio Mane is in contract negotiations about the change of club and is therefore not in the lineup today." The 31-year-old former Liverpool star is expected to become the latest high-profile player to join the cash-rich Saudi League. Organizers of next year's delayed African Games in Accra have been urged to double their efforts to ensure the readiness of the continental motorsport events. The call came from Miniata Samante Tesoma, chair of the African Union Technical Committee for the African Games, following a three-day meeting with the Accra 2023 Organizing Committee. Samante Sesoma, the AU Commissioner for Health, Humanitarian Efforts and Social Development, led the delegation as they were giving an update on preparations for the Games. Ghana Minister for Youth and Sports, Mustafa Usif, says all infrastructure required for the 13th African Games, Accra 2023, will be completed and handed over by December 2023, well ahead of the Games scheduled for March 8th to the 23rd, 2024.
All these facilities, we've got an assurance from the contractors at the various three sites that by December, some of them will start handing over the facility. By December, all the facilities should be done.
In basketball news, Uganda's Gazelles registered a huge upset at the 2023 FIBA Women's Afro Basket, beating Senegal 85-83 on Saturday night. In a match that had fans on the edge of their seats from the tip-off, withstood Senegal's repeated attacks to close out the game by a margin of just 2 points. Ugandan coach Alberto Carlos and captain Jane Asinde spoke about their victory after the game.
We cannot compete face to face, trying to be just better than teams as Mali and Senegal. Beating first time in the history of Uganda to Senegal, 11 times Africa champions, so it's something we will not forget for sure.
Well, I had to stay locked in. I had to trust my teammates that they have my back, and just stay poised the whole time.
Five games will be played on Sunday. Guinea will square off against Cameroon in the early kickoff, which will be followed by the game involving Egypt and Nigeria. Angola will then take on host Rwanda at the BK Arena, Rwanda. The late kickoff will see Senegal play Mali in the West African Derby. And now to judo, where Tunisian judoka Zainab Taroudi on Saturday won the gold medal in the plus 70 kilograms category at the African Cadet Championships Individuals 2023, organized in Antananarivo, Madagascar. And that's all for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Peter.
Thanks a lot, Samson. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. We'll link up with you again next Sunday for another look at African sports. Nightline Africa Sports. Now let's take a closer look at Africa's the problems, the prospects in time of conflict, in time of peace. Here's one man's point of view with Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. Hello, Dr. Jonah.
Good evening, Africa. Most regrettably, Indian lives are being lost in a confrontation between the Kenyan police and peaceful protesters. We have already heard a lot from international NGOs who have accused President Ruto of not listening to the views of the protesters and also not warning his police as they allegedly killed protesters. The international NGOs, however, have not yet shown some responsibility in taking account of the adverse economic repercussions of frequent protesters, even though peaceful, particularly in the economic districts. But let us look at a broader aspect of what is happening now in Kenya. It will seem that President Ruto is looking for a paradigm shift in dealing with the issue of funding African budgets. In preparing his budget, he said that there was a big gap between available revenues and the spending in the budget. And as usual, he was advised to look to commercial banks, states, or the IMF to raise funds to close the gap. He said he rejected these proposals, believing it was time for the Kenyan people to use their best efforts to finance their own programs. For that reason, he said, he is sending to the parliament increase in taxation to achieve that purpose. However, everyone knows that no one likes to pay taxes. And this is also true, and this will be confirmed, economists in Africa in particular, Africa is the only continent that finds it difficult to raise sufficient funds from revenues. The reason being that a large proportion of the population of Africa don't pay taxes because they are in poverty level. And those who are able to pay taxes find means to avoid paying taxes. This is a definite malaise in budget preparation in the African continent. We can now see why Africans find it easier to seek assistance from abroad than from their own countries because of the existence. Now, there are other African countries like President Ruto who are thinking in new ways. For example, the government of Ghana is now proposing Ghana adopts practices being popularized in Europe, particularly in Netherlands, and in some American states and municipalities, which is to legalize the sale and use of marijuana, and thereby to raise sufficient funds for the revenue. In some other African countries, they have used lottery system to finance certain programs in the budget. And there are indeed lots of ways that can be utilized by African governments to raise funds for revenue. But this tendency to rush to outsiders to finance their budget dies hard in Africa. Even though they know even industrialized European states are warning their citizens that too much dependencies on other states, say like China or Russia, is not in their interest. And this is why I believe that while President Ruto could be criticized for what is happening on the streets of Nairobi and other places, he should be given credit that he is trying to reduce dependency and raise funds by Kenyans to pay their bills. And with respect to the debt legislation, last Friday, the Supreme Court of Kenya overruled a lower court which had held that process to halt. The Supreme Court now says that that could proceed in Parliament. And if I may say so, Mr. Odinga's party has sufficient members in Parliament to discuss and oppose the taxes if this is his wish. But one must wonder whether or not these demonstrations are means by which to trigger a one-to-one meeting between former Prime Minister Odinga Odinga and President Ruto. I thank you.
That was One Man's Point of View, a commentary by Dr. James Jonah, former UN Undersecretary General for Political Affairs. It's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect. A flashback with music from the continent.
Thank you. shoto akini pige jicho ni midundu ya moyo. I say oops, but I thought I told you about that. Anything you need, I got you, I got you. Told you that baby, I got you. For my life, it's deeper than TV, I got you, I got you. So when I call me back, do not wonder. I said I promise that when I call, do not wonder. I
found out at that moment, nothing in life is promised except death. He has the opportunity to play this game of life. You need to appreciate every moment.
I sacrificed my appetite for my little boy.
Sunday Music Spot. Hope you enjoy the music from Nightline Africa here at the English service of the Voice of America in Washington. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoy the program tonight. As you know by now, you're there on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. From the Nightline Africa team, including producer Nicole Peters, we say thanks for joining us. And remember, as the elders say, the voice of reason can be heard by all, but understood by only a few.